Hurry On. In this interview, Nikki Myers passionately shares with us her personal experience with addiction and the solution she has found through yoga and 12-step fellowships. Nikki is a yoga therapist, somatic experiencing practitioner, certified addictions recovery specialist, and MBA. She is the founder of Y12SR, the yoga of 12-step recovery, which is based in its theme, The Issues Live in the Tissues. Y12SR is a relapse prevention program that weaves the art and science of yoga with the practical tools of 12-step programs. Y12SR meetings are now available all over the United States, and the curriculum is rapidly becoming a feature of addiction recovery treatment centers. So to begin with, Nikki, can you tell us a bit more about yourself?
Oh, absolutely. So first of all, I'm delighted to be here and to work with Satya on this very, very, very important subject matter. And so my name is Nikki Myers, and usually I start the whole thing out anytime I'm speaking, and I always say I don't care if I was speaking in front of the United Nations or a group of prominent physicians and whatever audience I'm speaking to, I usually start out the same way. And that's, hi, I'm Nikki, and I'm an addict, an alcoholic, a codependent. I'm the survivor of both childhood and adult sexual trauma. I'm a love addict. I am a recovering debtor spender. And I say all of that with the exact same gratitude and grace that I also say that I am a yoga teacher and therapist. I'm a somatic experiencing practitioner. That's a trauma healing methodology. I'll talk more about that a little later on. I am an MBA. I am the owner I have been the owner of several successful businesses. I am the founder of Y12SR, which is the yoga of 12-step recovery. I'm the mother of 2 living and 1 deceased child, and the grandmother of 5.
Wow.
And it all,
wow.
I know. And it all means, you know, all of it is equally divine. All of that I said was equally divine. What I've discovered is that if I elevate one part of myself and diminish another part of myself, then what I do is create a war with inside of me. I create a split, which is the exact opposite of what yoga is. Yoga's union and integration and wholeness. And when I create that split, what happens is I set up this internal war inside. And so this whole process of yoga and the 12-step program and all of this work relative to addiction recovery has been this path, this massive path of reintegrating all parts of myself, the lost self, the false self, the disowned self, all those pieces that, you know, that were out there. It's just been this mass reintegration of all those pieces. So that's kind of my introduction. That's kind of what I do and where it all came from.
So going back, you said there have been quite a few different addictions in your past. Do you think that when you put down one, you picked up another?
Was
it? Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. I call that, or I've heard it called, I've taken up the phrasing for it, whack-a-mole, right? And that's that game that you see at carnivals and places like that, where you take the hammer and you hit one down and the other one pops up someplace else. And then you hit the other one down and another one pops up. So yes, for me, I played the game of whack-a-mole for years and years and years.
From my experience in 12-step programs, the 12 steps can work for any addiction. It's just the replacement of the different substance or behavior pattern, but it's a model that can work for anything. Has that been your experience?
Absolutely. You know, I looked this up relatively recently, and you know, this is just what's known at this point. There are 216 different kinds of 12-step programs, and that amazes me. You know, there are things ranging from substance to things like clutter. You know, there's a Clutters Anonymous that my understanding is very, very, very effective. But it is just taking the principles of the 12-step program and applying them to whatever the addiction is. So that's my experience as well.
So why do you think we become addicted to substances and behavioral patterns?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. A big question, a big, big, big question. When I'm teaching this in Y12SR, you know, I talk about this in terms of yogic philosophy. And the yogic philosophy that the piece of the yogic philosophy that I speak to this relative to this is the whole notion about samskara, right? And that, so according to the ancients, samskara are these deep impressions, these deep patterns, habitual conditioning, all of those kinds of things. And the big deal about samskara is really samskara is not good, bad, right, or wrong. We're set up this way very purposefully, very, very purposefully. And there's even, you know, when we go back from a neuroscience perspective, we can look at structures in the brain that support, particularly in the limbic brain, that support samskaras. And again, samskara not being good or bad or right or wrong. As a matter of fact, I call it both the cause and the cure, right? Because we use the exact same thing in order to create patterns that are useful and things that will serve us to replace the things that no longer serve us. So it's this deep patterning and conditioning. And, you know, from, again, kind of a neuroscience perspective, there's structures in our limbic brain that are set up to reward us based on keeping the organism alive. So, you know, I always say, you know, food really tastes good, thank goodness, because otherwise, you know, we wouldn't eat it. So our reward system is activated when we eat, because it's a mechanism to keep the organism alive. And again, reproduction, same kind of thing. Sex feels good, right? Because the organism wants to stay alive. And so those structures for releasing dopamine are there. And really, anytime there's substance abuse, or really it's not even just substance, behavioral abuse too, any kind of addiction, goes after the reward center of the brain, right? The reward center of the brain. And there it's kind of set up like, again, this pattern structure that says, oh my God, this neurotransmitter, dopamine, for example, as one, you know, this is being released, right? So this must be a life-affirming event, right? So this structure remembers the event and then sets it up so that it repeats because it gets it. It's a life-sustaining thing. I read a wonderful article on this, and I can't remember the author right now, but the title of the article is, why does the brain prefer opium to broccoli, right? And, you know, it talks about these structures in the brain and how they get activated and all of those kinds of things. So it's interesting. It really is an interesting thing.
So do you think this is why so many people relapse? They go back to that. They want that high.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's set up, you know, in this way as a repeating pattern. It is all based in the brain, which is why we talk about this as addiction as a disease. You know, it's not a moral deficiency. It is, in fact, the way that it's set up, it is that it works on the very basis of the entire nervous system. It works in our brain. Right. So this is a disease rather than a moral deficiency.
So how have you found yoga to complement the 12 steps and enhance recovery for people?
I love it. Another great question. The 12-step program speaks of addiction as a physical, mental, and spiritual disease. They do wonderful work to a wide variety of people. You know, you don't, the beautiful thing about the 12-step program, one of the beautiful things about the 12-step program is that it's accessible. You know, it's accessible to all. And, you know, you don't need a whole lot of money or resource or anything to take advantage of the healing that's possible from 12-step programs. They've been around since 1935, and millions of people have found help in 12-step programs in addressing this disease of addiction. It discusses in there, again, it talks about addiction as a physical, mental, and spiritual disease. That said, very little is done relative to the physical. The only time the physical really is addressed is at detox at the very beginning. So very little is done relative to the physical. And then actually there's a toe tap, is the way I often phrase it, into the spiritual. Right? We speak in 12-step rooms about prayer and meditation, but really there's nothing really of substance there in the 12-step program itself around prayer and meditation. What is addressed beautifully and quite nicely through the 12 steps is the cognitive piece, the mental piece, addressed quite nicely. Right. So if we say it's a physical, mental, and spiritual disease, one of the things that yoga adds as an adjunct to this is really the physical pieces. And it also the spiritual pieces relative to meditation. And then what I love most of all is yoga also addresses the links between those three things. You know, it addresses the link between the body, the mind, and the spirit, which for me is where a lot of the richness and the real depth is in the links between them. So I think yoga just adds this incredible piece as an adjunct to what the 12-step program to present what I like to call a major piece in a platform for sustainable addiction recovery, right? And that's what, you know, I'm very much interested in, sustainable addiction recovery. It's, you know, it's easy, it's relatively for some. Mark Twain had this quote around, Mark Twain was a big smoker, and he had this quote around smoking that says something like, you know, quitting was relatively easy. I've done it 1,000 times, right? So, you know, so stopping is one thing. Staying stopped is something different, right? Is another piece. So, you know, what I am looking for, what Y12SR is looking for, is to create this sustainable platform for addiction recovery.
So have you found there are specific yoga practices for addiction recovery?
Yeah. What we do in Y12SR is we create these things that we call, quote unquote, the interventions, for lack of a better word. And the idea is that these are little specific things that I can use not only on my mat, but off my mat and into my life, right? When in program, we call it life on life's terms. So when those situations come up in life that may be a little bit triggering, that may be a little bit, you know, or not even a little bit, maybe a lot triggering, right? All of those kinds of things come up, that they're a set of tools that I can use in those moments to re-regulate my nervous system. We said this is a disease of the nervous system primarily, right? So when our nervous system gets dysregulated, then these tools, these interventions, all coming from yoga, help bring us back to a sense of regulation or a sense of homeostasis. An example of these is, you know, simply a very simple but powerful example is mountain pose. For example, one of the program phrases that's often used, and we try and pair these interventions with phrases that people hear all the time in the 12-step program to make them more than just a phrase. They become an embodiment. They become an embodiment practice. So, for example, mountain pose, we teach very specifically and teach the principles that go along with the posture itself and speak to that as something that I can keep coming back to. So there's this phrase in program that we say all the time, keep coming back, keep coming back. The question, well, what am I coming back to? Is it just a meeting, right? What else can I come back to? So this is a posture that I can feel. There's a sensateness to my body that I can know in my body, that I know whether I'm in it or out of it, right? And when I'm in mountain pose, there is this place of power. There's this place of coming home. There's this place of the quality of the mountain that faces everything in front of it, right? There's this space, the sensateness of that, that I can use in my life, right? So keep coming back is more than just a cavalier phrase that we use. It is actually, I can feel that in my body. So we use little things like that. You know, there's one we call the pause button, right? That symbolically is child's pose. It doesn't have to be child's pose, but that's symbolically that. We talk about that as part of the wisdom to know the difference, knowing when to pause, right? Knowing when to pause, knowing when to just stop. That, you know, when you do too much, you risk injury. You do too little, you risk atrophy. We're looking for the middle path and the wisdom to know the difference. And there's a sensation to that. There's an embodiment to that. So we teach all these little things, you know, and tools throughout the yoga practice, throughout the practice itself, so that people will be able to use these tools off the mat and into their lives when triggering situation comes up or something comes up in their life.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds fantastic. It's just, it's practical. It's giving people practical movements, actions that they can do to make those slogans and sayings come alive. It's wonderful.
Exactly.
So, Nikki, what obstacles and problems have you encountered when teaching to addicts and people in recovery that perhaps other teachers may not foresee?
There are quite a few. You're working with, I hear a beautiful little baby back there.
Well, these are actually chickens saying, feed me, feed me.
Those are chickens?
Yeah, they're chooks in our backyard.
That's funny. That's hilarious. I thought it was a baby. That's too funny. There are quite a few. We have to remember, it's not just singularly with this population. It's with many. However, it's specifically true. You can count on it in this population. You can just count on it. Mm-hmm. Addiction is, without question, I assert that what underlies any addiction is some kind of unresolved trauma. And so you're dealing with a traumatized population.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so we have to remember that. That this is undoubtedly a traumatized population. Like I said, that's true for much more than just the addiction population, but I assert that it's always true for the addiction population. And so, you know, there's some things you need to be aware of. The methodology for trauma that I was taught looks at specific nuances depending on the type of trauma. And I do find, while this is not at all a blanket statement, I noticed some things that are particularly prominent in the addiction population. And, you know, there's a lot around sexual abuse. There's a lot around physical abuse, usually early childhood kind of physical things. And many other things these are just little examples, around that I find quite a bit of in the addiction population. So, you know, there's some things we need to be really cautious of and aware of as teachers when working with this population. My experience is you have to be very real, right? Very real. That doesn't mean being namby-pamby, for lack of a technical term to put with that. It just means that we have to be aware that that's what's in the room. So we don't do a lot of hands-on adjusting with this population. Even what I've discovered is that, and my experience with this is more with women than with men, although I have no doubt that it's not gender specific, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of folks, they may say that they're okay with touch, but in fact, you know, it's because they don't know to say any different, right? And, you know, this gets to be a big subject matter around early childhood sexual stuff, which I know very well because it's a part of my history, right? And so I never knew how to say no because of the early childhood sexual trauma. You know, I kind of make a joke about it, but really it's not so much a joke. You know, I thought I had to, when I was growing up, you know, in young adulthood, I thought I needed to have sex with everyone who was nice to me, right? Mine was subtle, right? It was really subtle and it was done seductively. So I thought I was supposed to, right? I was confused like that, right? And I found many, many folks that we do more harm with than good if we're not. So it's just something we have to be really mindful and really careful about, for example. And there are other things in that same kind of conversation, and not just with the early childhood sexual trauma, but other things with this population that is important for us to be very mindful and cognizant of.
Wow. So with relapse prevention, do you suggest people practice on a regular basis to keep coming back to classes, or how can they take their practice? Oh, there's kind of two questions here, but how can they take their practice from the classes and into everyday life?
Right. And again, that's kind of what we teach the interventions for, how you take this into your everyday life so that when I'm triggered, I'll give you a quick anecdotal kind of story around this that I love. Mm-hmm. There was a woman who had been coming to Y12SR for about 6 months who had gotten out of an institution and, you know, had gotten out away from incarceration and had gotten her children back within her custody from Child Protective Services. And she came to Y12SR one day and she recounted this particular thing. She said, you know, I had one of those days where it felt like everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong. Everything was just going badly. And my kids, you know, were probably just picking up on her energy, acting like kids. They were pretty rambunctious and crazy and all of that kind of stuff. And she said, you know, I could feel the irritation. I could feel the anger coming up from the bottom of my feet, you know, and I just felt it. And she said, and, you know, I felt it coming all the way up. And then I heard this voice in my head. She said, I heard this voice that said, let's root and ground and together take a big, deep breath with Mary Jo. And that's what we do in the Y12SR space. We root, ground, and take big, deep breaths. And she said, I took a big, deep breath, and then I didn't beat my kid, right? And so it's using that kind of thing as an intervention, right, in the moment that you know, I'm feeling this old familiar feeling coming up again where I beat my kid, right? It's coming up. And then I hit the pause button, root, ground, take a big, deep breath, and make a different choice. You create the space where there's a different choice available. And so, you know, it's that kind of thing.
Gosh, Nikki, thank you so much for all these helpful insights and suggestions. It's just wonderful. Below this video is a link to your website, but can you tell us more about Y12SR?
Absolutely. We've been around now since really this all started 2003, 2004. So it's been around for a little while, and it's just been this grassroots scene that's grown incredibly. So now we have education and training piece where we train other yoga teachers to go back into their home communities and bring Y12SR meeting into their communities. And what it is like a 12-step meeting with a topic and a discussion and just like a regular 12-step meeting. And then directly after that, there's a themed, informed, trauma-informed yoga practice right after that. The theme of the program is the issues live in our tissues. And the whole idea is to have this way through this combination of the cognitive and the somatic to have a release of the issues that live in our tissues. So now there are 100 plus of the meetings that are going on throughout the country, but we've also gone international now. It's now in London and in Canada and in Nicaragua, you know, so it's begun to go international. And so it's just really been an incredible thing to watch. And seems like something people have found as a useful adjunct to. It's not meant to replace 12-step meetings by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a useful adjunct, again, to create this sustainable platform for addiction recovery.
It's just remarkable, the work that you're doing in this area. Thank you. Nikki, is there anything further that you'd like to add?
I can't think of anything. You guys can look it all up on www.y12sr.com. And you're more than welcome at any time to email me, or we've just got a little small staff. But for any of us, we'll be happy to answer any questions anyone might have about anything. And again, thank you and love and appreciate the work that you are doing and Satya is doing in this area.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today, and namaste.
Namaste. Thank you so much.